Take your Bibles, if you will, now. And we want to turn to the book of John, chapter 21. One verse is our main text verse, and then we'll be looking at two other key verses as we go along. And we're in a series now, Bible Blueprints for Better Homes. We need good homes. We need Bible homes. And the Word of God is the blueprint for building better homes. I don't care who writes it, what they say about it, a psychologist, psychiatrist, anyone else, Christian counselor, the Bible is the book that gives us the blueprint for better Christian homes. And we need those so desperately. John chapter 21, beginning with verse 15, or reading verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, and notice the question, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. The title of the message today is, How is your love life? How is your love life? The scriptures talk a lot about what love really is. We're living in a society today where I'm not so sure that we really understand what we're talking about. The true meaning of love seems to be lost on the altar of selfishness. And so many people do not know what Bible love really is. And I suppose we shouldn't be surprised about that, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy that in the last days, and I firmly believe we're in the latter part of the last days, perilous times will come and people will be lovers of their own selves and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's why we ask the question, how's your love life? Are you more in love with yourself? Are you more in love with pleasure? Or are you more in love with the Lord? And God intended for marriage to have a lot of love in it. Amen? Amen. God did not mean for marriage to be some kind of prison that you endure for the lifetime of marriage. God intended there to be love, and God's kind of love in that marriage. I hear sometimes these words, I just don't love my husband anymore. Or I just don't love my wife anymore. There's something wrong with that. If no other verse covers it, this one does. Love your enemies, all right? So you're unscriptural no matter what. Good. A woman said this when she was cheating on her husband, I fell out of love with him, and I fell in love with someone else. You know, it's like it's an accident. I fell in love, I fell out of love, like you fall out of a car, fall into a car. No, love is far more than that. And love is a lifetime commitment in the marriage relationship. Love is not an accident. Love is a choice. And love always has a spiritual connection to it. That's why we talk about it, because it does have a spiritual connection to it. And if a person is having a problem loving, they're having a spiritual problem. I don't care who it is. If they're having a problem loving, they're having a spiritual problem. 1 John 4:8, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. He that loveth not doesn't really know God. Somebody that's hating and mean and doesn't love people, and love in any relationship, it covers all relationships, then they really don't know God like the Bible says they should know God. Probably never have been truly born again. So I want us to consider two or three things very quickly about love. And consider what was said here to Peter in John 21 in verse 15 in our text. Look at the object. Jesus says, when they dined, Jesus saith unto him, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? That should be the main object of our love today. And I say it again, too many of us love ourselves more than we love the Lord Jesus Christ. It is obvious to me that that's what's causing Laodiceanism in our churches today. It is a love of self which creates a love of pleasure, which puts our love for God third place, fourth place, fifth place, somewhere down the line. It shouldn't be that way. Look at what he says. The object of our love should be Jesus. Son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now look at the next little word, more. That's the degree of love. Lovest thou me? The object is Jesus. The degree is, do you love me more? Do you love me more? And we should love him more than anyone or anything else in life. We should love the Lord Jesus Christ more. Amen? Shouldn't we love him more? More, more, more. More than what, Peter? Well, the priority is more than these. Love them in degree more, and love more than these, he says. What? What is that? Well, more than these other disciples love me, perhaps. Or more than those disciples love you. But you should love me more than being a fisherman. More than going back to your old occupation. You should love me enough to follow my will for your life, Peter. And my will for your life is feed my lambs, that's the little children, and feed my sheep, that's the adults, feed them. If you love me, and I'm the object of your love, and you love me more than anything else, then you're going to obey my calling and do what I tell you to do, because you love me. And so that's the expansion of love. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I do. Do you love me? Yes, I do. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then, expansion of love is do something with it. Everybody can talk about loving Jesus. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him. I love him. But then when it comes time to prove that love, to expand that love, to exhibit that love, to show that love, we begin to lose personnel. And when we love, we're to love, and we're to prove that love, and that love reaches out. And that is the expansion of that love. Peter, do you really love me? Yes. All right, then, if you love me more than these, and you love me deeper than all of that, then feed my sheep, do something for me that I've shown you to do. And if we love Christ as believers today, we're going to do what God wants us to do, and we're going to increase, by loving him, our ability and our capacity to love others like we should love. When we really fall in love with Jesus, we can love other people right. You can love your wife right, men, if you love Jesus. And wives, you can love your husbands like you should if you love Jesus, if you really have that kind of love. You can love your spouse, love others better. Parents, you can love your children better if you have the love of God. We can love lost people better if we're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can love other members of the church like we should if we're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't all act the same way. We don't all look the same way. We don't all go the same places. We don't all dress the same way. We don't all have the same personalities. But bless God, we ought to love one another because of the love of Jesus Christ and get along in the church, and there shouldn't be any disunity. There shouldn't be any concision, any disunity in the local body of baptized believers in the church of the living God, because we learn that God's love is real, and we learn to love one another in spite of our failures, in spite of our idiosyncrasies, in spite of our quirks and the odd things that we all have about us, everybody but me. We should love our neighbors, amen? I don't know why you laugh, but I guess it illustrates the point. We should love our neighbors. Who is our neighbor? Well, somebody, the Bible would describe it as somebody who is in need. Somebody who needs the Lord. Somebody that is our neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Not just the one right beside you or the fence neighbor down the road. It's the one who is in need. That's what the Good Samaritan was. That was the one that needed a good neighbor to help him out. And we should love. And if we love Jesus, we're going to love other people. And we'll want to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We will love the lost. So how's your love life? Do you really love Jesus? Do you love him like Peter was supposed to love him, and like Jesus was asking him? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Is there anything in your life you love more than Jesus? Won't do any good to raise that, will it?
How about the Super Bowl tonight?
Uh-oh. Lovest thou me more than these? They say there'll be more people watching the Super Bowl tonight than voted in our last election. What a shame. That's probably why we're in the mess we're in. I'm just illustrating. And I love sports. I love football, and I'm not putting anybody down. I love it, and I enjoy it. And if I can cut my message, you know, just about right tonight, I'll get out of here and get home. We get through that little brief business meeting and report, and we'll be gone. That's why I met with the deacons at 5 instead of after service tonight. I like football. I love football. I played high school football, enjoyed it, and love it. But let me tell you something. We better love Christ more than anything else. What are you going to love tonight more than what would bring you back to church? I'm just asking the question. Now, please understand that I know. Please understand this. I know there's some people who, because of health reasons and because of age and so on and so forth, do not drive at night. I understand that. And please don't. I'm not trying to put you down and make you feel bad. But I'm talking about the other 99.9% that are healthy. You know, I'm just asking the question. I'm just asking, what do you love more tonight at 6 o'clock? Your bed, your television, your hobby, your friends, your relatives, your dog, I don't know what. But what do you love more than Jesus tonight? I can't think of any reason that everybody here shouldn't be back tonight, unless there's a providential reason. You know, I'm just asking the question. Now, consider Isaac. Let's move on. Getting very quiet. Go to Genesis chapter 24, please. Ah, folks, we need to love Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Genesis 24. And look at verses 64 through 67. And let's consider Isaac. We've already considered Peter. Now let's consider Isaac in these verses. And Rebekah, Genesis 24, 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. That does not mean she lit off of somebody else's cigarette, by the way. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. He loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. That's a beautiful story. You know how the servant was sent to get a bride for Isaac. That's a very great picture of the Holy Spirit going out and gathering us up, bringing us, calling us, that we might become saved, be saved, and become part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at that love. What kind of love was it that he had? Well, the first thing I see is back in verse 53, and that is he bought her. Look in verse 53. Or he paid the price for her. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. I sure am glad I wasn't living by the Old Testament standards when I asked my wife to marry me. About all I could come up with was an engagement ring on payments down at DuPont's jewelry store in Rayville, Louisiana. But back then, they had to do a whole lot more. They had to give gifts and jewels and things of that nature to convince and to prove that they really wanted a wife and deserved a wife. It cost him to love. And let me remind all of us today, it will cost you to love. If you're going to love and choose to love like Jesus, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you sacrifice and putting yourself down and dying to self daily. It always costs to love. And love will be proven by a price that we would pay. We say we love the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of price do we pay to prove it to Him? How sacrificial are we to prove our love to the Lord Jesus Christ? Not only did He buy her, but He brought her. Verse 67 tells us that. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's house, tent. He brought her. He bought her and he brought her. The woman was for him. That was God's woman for him. And he brought her into the tent. And he took her to be his wife. And he began to provide for her because there was love in his heart for her. They say there cannot be love at first sight. I disagree with that. May not always be, but I believe it can be love at first sight. I believe it was the first time I saw my wife, and I believe it was right here. I believe it was love at first sight. But he brought her and bought her, and he did not stop loving her, and he didn't put his mother out, he didn't mistreat her, but he loved his wife. He was proving and showing that love. He loved her. Now, that was a choice, by the way, because he didn't know her before this. Isn't that strange? He didn't even know her. But he saw her and he fell in love with her. He loved her, even though he had never seen her before. A choice that he made in his heart to love. And I believe that his love for her began when he saw her that day. He married her and he determined in his life that he was going to love her until they death, only death parted them. He loved her as his wife and provided for her and took care of her from that day forward with all of his love, a lifelong commitment. And men, when she becomes your wife, or ladies, when he becomes your husband, there must be a lifelong commitment of love. God's kind of love will make it possible. That love was expressed. That love was expressed physically. Intimacy in marriage is a way that is perfectly biblical, and the bed is undefiled, so that that love is a love that is expressed in a physical way. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, God says to the men and the women to not defraud each other. In other words, not deny each other of those privileges of the intimacy of marriage unless you agree to do that, if it's a form of fasting and you agree to do that. But what he is saying is the man does not own his body and the wife does not own her body. And that love should be expressed regularly and frequently in the way that God has led in the home. That's God's plan and that's God's way. It is a form of expressing that love. Now, previous to marriage, it is wrong. Previous to marriage, it is fornication. And in addition to marriage, it is adultery. And God says that that is bad and that is terrible and that is wrong. But love should be expressed physically, those intimate needs in a marriage, and emotionally. He says that he was comforted after his mother's death. She comforted him. He comforted her. She left her family. She left her home. She left her father and her mother and her brothers and sisters and came there to be his wife. And he comforted her and met her emotional needs because she had those emotional needs. And she met his emotional needs to a great degree. And that's part of what love does. We don't get the attitude, get on out of here. Don't bother me. I can't solve your problem. Leave me alone. Men, you need to take time to help meet your wife's emotional needs. And if sometimes if that means not going to play golf, you don't need to go play golf that day. Or have your favorite hobby and not meet her needs. You need to meet her needs, and she needs to meet your emotional needs. That's the way God designed it. And as long as you will depend on God and love God like you should love God, then in that marriage relationship, you're going to be able to express that love the way God wants it to be expressed. The wife is to help her husband spiritually. The husband is to help his wife. We know that. Look at 1 Peter just a second, if you will. The Bible gives us instruction always in His Word, and He tells the wife to help your husband spiritually. And of course, we know that the husband is to do that, and we'll talk about that. But look in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, not some other woman's husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the wives' by the conversation of the wives, the way she lives. If you have a husband that is lost, how are you going to win him to Christ? Not bellyaching at him all the time, not badgering him all the time, not putting him down all the time because he's not saved, but you're going to do it by another lifestyle. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won to Christ, be won over by the way you live, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. A humble attitude of the Christian wife and the lifestyle that you're living, the conversation, everything you do. And then he says, whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair. You say, oh, see there, preacher, it says you're not supposed to plait your hair. Women aren't supposed to fix their hair up. That's not what he's saying. And of wearing of gold. Ah, you're not supposed to wear bracelets and earrings and all of that, necklaces. Or of putting on of apparel. Oh, you're not supposed to wear clothes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what it says. If you take the first two to mean that, then you got to take the third one to mean that, right? That is not what he's saying. He said, that's not where the beauty is. It's not what you wear, ladies, that makes you beautiful. It's not the gold and the silver. It's not the fine clothes you wear or whatever you wear. It's not those things. Well, what is it that makes you appealing, and what is it that makes you useful, ladies, and what is it that makes you what you should be to have an impact on your mate? Let it be the hidden man, verse 4, of the heart, the hidden person of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, or that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek, listen, ladies, a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It is not how successful you are at your business, ladies. It isn't how much money you have established to help in the account of the bank. It is, are you sweet-spirited? Are you in subjection to your husband? Do you have a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price? For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves. How? They adorned themselves. They dressed up, especially being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Ladies, God says you need to let your husbands be the head of the home, be in subjection to him. And do it with a sweet and quiet spirit. And don't always be fighting him and causing problems and putting him down and doing that. Now, let's go to Ephesians just a second. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, one verse there. And I want you to notice what he says to the fathers, Ephesians 6, 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Dads, if you love God like you should and you love Jesus like you should, then you're going to take the initiative in that home to bring those children up in the fear and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to depend on your wife to do that. You're going to be the man that has the courage to stand up and be spiritual. And I can tell you this, guys, if you'll take your rightful place and love Jesus like you should and be the head of the home and follow the Lord and train and teach and take the spiritual initiative and do what's right, you're not going to have a problem with your wife being in subjection to you. She's going to gladly follow you as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I often say in my weddings, will you follow Jill, for instance, will you follow John as he follows Christ? And I say that on purpose because he is supposed to follow Christ. Men, you need to set the example, and we're to be mutually in subjection to one another. Now consider King Solomon, 1 Kings 11, 1. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. We've looked at Peter. We've considered that. Then we've looked at this illustration. And now let's look at King Solomon in the relationship of love. Where's your love life? How much do you love Jesus? How in love are you with him? In 1 Kings 11, 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Didn't say all women are strange. He just said he happened to pick out some strange ones, right? But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto those in love. In love. And he had 700 wives. Can you imagine they called him the wisest man in the world? Something happened somewhere then. And the Bible tells us what happened. That his wives turned away his heart after other gods, verse 4. And his heart was not perfect, was not right with the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David, his father. Now, look at the problem with Solomon. There's the contrast. Here, it tells us that he loved many strange women. Back in chapter 3, in verse 3 in 1 Kings, look there very quickly. I just want to show you a contrast, and I'm asking you, how's your love life? In 1 Kings 3, 3, and Solomon, what? Say it with me. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Now go back to 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon did what? Loved many strange women. He came to the place that his love for those women and the satisfaction of self was far more important than his love for the Lord. Why? How do you know that? Because God told him not to do this. God said, don't do that. Why? They were Gentiles, Canaanites, Hittites, Moabites. He said, don't go and fall in love with those that are pagans, because they will pull you away from God. They'll pull you away from me. Don't do that. And yet Solomon did it. Why did he do it? The same reason many of us put other things in our lives in the place of God. Because Solomon loved himself. At some point he decided, I'm going to satisfy Solomon more than anybody else. That's why we have problems in our marriages. Because some husband decides, I'm going to do my thing my way, and I don't care if it hurts my wife and my family, because I love myself more than I love Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do it my way. That's the reason some women decide they're going to do it their way. They're not going to be in subjection at home. They're going to do it their way. They're not going to listen to God's word and God's will. And because of what they want, they say, I don't love God enough to listen and obey to his word, so I'm going to do it my way. But when you do that, you might as well get ready for the consequences. God had warned him, don't multiply wives to yourself. He had told him that, and especially those outside of it. But he loved himself. He loved power. He loved prosperity. He loved pleasure, obviously, and he was proud. And so Solomon said, hey, I can handle it. I don't love the Lord enough to obey him. Oh, what a sad day when we make those decisions. And yet we do it all the time. And his heart was turned from God. verse 4 and then verse 9 of 1 Kings 11. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. He was the wealthiest man in the world, was considered the wisest man in the world. The Queen of Sheba came and saw him and said, the half hadn't been told me. And yet, here he is. God's mad at him. Why? Because he loved the wrong thing. Do you love some sin in your life more than you love Jesus? Pornography? Pleasure? Materialism? Pride? Vengeance? Anger? What is it? What do we love more than we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Leisure? Safety? Comfort? What do we love more than we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Shouldn't be anything, amen? Shouldn't be anything. Now, what are the consequences? Solomon had a personal loss. And Solomon not only had a personal loss, but his children did. Others were affected and impacted by the fact that he didn't love God like he should have loved God at that point in his life. And friend, whenever we don't love God like we should, others are impacted by that. It may be your wife, it may be your husband, it may be your children. It may be the cause of Christ, but others are impacted because of that. Jonathan lost his kingdom because Saul, his father, got out of God's will. And all kinds of problems came as a result of that. I'm simply asking you today, how's your love life? If the Lord is number one in your life, if He is number one, if you love Him more than anything else, if He is foremost, then I believe that all of these other relationships, including the home and marriage, are going to be exactly what God intends for them to be. How is your love life? Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. And friend, as we think about home and marriage, let me just say to you, you cannot have the right kind of love life until you come to know Christ as your Savior. I would suspect there are some folks here in this congregation today, here not by accident, but because God has allowed you to be here, and you're not saved, you're not sure you're going to heaven. The first thing you need to do is fall in love with Jesus. Trust Him as your Savior. How do you do that? The Bible says, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You cannot earn it. There's no way you can earn it. The Bible is so clear on that. It is a gift of God. It is received as a gift by faith in believing what God said. If you believe that He died and was buried and arose, paid your sin debt, friend, you can be saved today. And we want to invite you to step out from where you are, even right now. We don't even have to be singing. Just step out and come and say, I want to be saved. And then I ask all of us, including myself from this pulpit, this podium, how is our love life? Do we love anything more than we love Jesus Christ? Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than these? More than anything. Father, help us to love Jesus with all of our heart, all of our might, and all of our mind, and all of our soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, for we know the whole law is fulfilled in those two things. I pray for the lost that are here today that they would have the courage to step out and come and say, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I love Jesus and I want to receive Him as my Savior. We're thankful, Jesus, You paid the price for Your bride. You have bought us and You'll bring us to Yourself if we'll come to You and receive You. And I pray today that lost people would be saved. God, help us as Your children to so exhibit Christ's love in our relationships and especially in our homes that the result would be that love never dies. It is patient. It is long-suffering. It is kind. It is good. It is meek. Help us to love like we should. And Lord, help us to love You as we should, because we know that if we do, that our love will emanate to all other relationships in our life like it should. Help us, I pray, in Christ's name.